I really didn't get to watch much of him. I just watched the defense, but he's definitely a playmaker, somebody who can extend plays and, you know, make all the cool throws. A tough player, take hits, and really talented. So, you know, I definitely do think that he has great things coming in his career. And I definitely do think, like, he'll get his rhythm going. And, you know, it takes time. It's not something that doesn't happen overnight. You can see in every quarterback this week, I think, except for probably Baker Mayfield, who looked really good. Everybody's kind of rusty, trying to just, you know, get those kinks out and get that rust away. And I think quarterback players start picking up week two, week three, week four, just like every year. So I definitely think he'll get his rhythm.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, that is the quarterback of the Houston Texans. That's C.J. Stroud, and he's talking about none other than Caleb Williams, the quarterback of the Bears, who threw for 93 yards, I believe, in the opener and never seemed to get into his rhythm. And it's interesting to hear from C.J. Stroud saying nice things about Caleb Williams.
Grizzled veteran C.J. Stroud.
Second
sounding
year.
Like a man who has perspective in the league, but he's only in his second season. But he has one of the best rookie seasons by a quarterback ever to point to as his frame of reference. And so when he speaks, you listen a little bit, because Caleb Williams will be fine, I think. I don't know if that process I think that he'll be better on Sunday. He can't get much worse. I think Sunday they'll probably start out more efficiently, then try to gradually maybe become more explosive. But Caleb Williams' success will be rooted in a couple things. His own performance, mm-hmm. and his own ability to manage anxiety, but what receivers are going to be available to him and how well will he be protected.
Yeah.
That's a key thing.
Well, I believe that you are absolutely right. I think that the funnest storyline, and we've talked about it much of the week, is the idea that, you know, in a funny mirror kind of way, the Bears had the number one pick in the draft thanks to Houston. They ended up trading it to Carolina. That's how they wound up with all the draft picks they got, all the players they received, and including Caleb Williams. And meanwhile, Bryce Young failing miserably in Carolina. I don't know anyone who could succeed, but C.J. Stroud going from strength to strength down in Houston out of that same draft. So just very interesting kind of weird connection between the Bears kind of rebuilding and then the Texans rebuilding on the fly in a different way.
This is a game that's perfect for television and a primetime audience, because it allows NBC to draw the parallels that are obvious between these two franchises and between these two teams specifically. You've got the Texans that did last year what the Bears want to do this year. Use a rookie quarterback and a defensive-minded head coach to play your way into the postseason. And the Bears have designs in doing the exact same thing. Matt Eberflus was spared his job, brought back as a defensive-minded head coach who was going to be the head coach of a rookie, highly picked quarterback. C.J. Stroud did not go number one overall, but he went second. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams went first. So it's a very similar dynamic, and the Bears were as bad. They weren't as bad last year as the Texans were in 2022, so they can make the same kind of leap in their minds that the Texans made last season. And so this is a team a lot of Bears fans will watch, and it may be a tough night, but it also will give you a little bit of hope, because look what the Texans did in a short period of time with similar circumstances.
Yeah, that's a fair way of looking at it. I just think that, again, you know, what C.J. Stroud accomplished last year can't be the way that we are measuring or weighing the improvement of Caleb Williams. And I get it. You know, the Bears named him the starter before they drafted him. They got rid of any opposition before they even brought him in here. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing from day one. And I think they've got a lot to improve upon from game one to game two. Hopefully they do so. Hopefully, and we've talked about this as well, the interior of the offensive line is better. And we're not here on Monday talking about how the tackles need a lot of help. Hopefully Mercedes Lewis is able to play and help Braxton Jones, and then Darnell Wright can hold his own, and you don't feel coming out of that game like the Bears are just not ready for prime time. You want to feel like they've got some ideas in terms of the offensive identity they're looking for, and they're making strides toward that.
Start small, think big. Start with your running game. Find your tight end. Rediscover who Cole Kmet is in your offense. And then start to utilize your wide receivers, whoever they may be. He may be without DJ. He may be without Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze. DJ Moore may be your number one option early and often. But that's not an unfamiliar role for him to play in this offense. It would be great if he has both receivers, but it's unlikely because Roma Dunze is most likely out. Keenan Allen might be compromised. Did you see that? I think it was Chris Beatty yesterday, the wide receivers coach, reminding people just how good of a receiver DeAndre Carter could be. He caught 46 passes for the Chargers a couple years ago, I believe. Not to say that he's going to be a weapon that necessarily is going to emerge as a dependable part of the Bears offense, but he's also not a novice. And I think that's one thing you forget. You think of him strictly as a return person, but if he's forced to play a role in this offense, it's not like he will be overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know that. I mean, listen.
Tyler Scott is going to be likely to be active. DeAndre Carter could be active. You know, DJ Moore will be there, and you wonder if Keenan Allen, if
one
he
of them
can't
will
go,
be there.
You think
Keenan Allen will be
okay?
There.
So Keenan Allen and Moore, and then Carter. And Tyler Scott, and then Velus Jones is an asterisk because I think that active spot on the roster could go to a running back, another running back, because Velus Jones essentially right now is only a running back. So
yeah.
Roschon Johnson could be up, Velus Jones could be down. And then you take your chances with that mix, and you see how the offense functions. And
I mean, I think the problem with Velus is simple, is that you can't trust him to be a punt returner, and now you can't trust him as a kick returner. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So is he still what the general manager called a four-core special teamer? I don't believe he is. Not if two of those cores are other positions rather than the one you want him to actually. You activate him. So he can be your returner, whether it's kick returner, punt returner. He can't be a punt returner, so he's activated as a kick returner.
Mm-hmm.
And now he can't do that. So is he good enough as a third running back to say, well, we got to have him on the field?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I
don't think so.
No.
All right, can we get to the important stuff
Please. About
this game? So for reasons that escape me, I know this is just be a little thing, but they're wearing orange helmets and orange jerseys.
Jesus. I'm glad we haven't talked about that. I don't want to talk about that. Okay. To me,
I'm glad I brought it up.
No. I'm just saying, if ever there was a reason to pick them to lose, it's that reason. Those orange uniforms, I have seen them play like horse manure.
I think they're 1-3
in those
in
uniforms.
Orange. I think they're 1-3 in orange jerseys.
It feels like they're worse than that.
It does feel like they're worse than that.
It feels like some of those losses were like four losses.
It does.
I mean,
they're
those
bad.
Unis are so awful. They're god-awful. Number one, they're not the Bears.
Helmets are worse.
They don't look like the Bears.
Helmets are worse.
They're awful.
You're not Clemson.
No.
You're not a dreamsicle.
If ever there was a reason to not like them in that game, that starts there.
They have the most classic helmets that you would want. They have a nice, clean uniform. I don't understand. If the Texans want to go all white because they're on Sunday Night Football, great. They're the Texans. They're kind of new to the party. You are a charter franchise. Dress like it.
The navy blue, which looks like black, is what scares people. That is a great-looking uniform.
Are you going to intimidate anybody dressed in orange?
No. No, maybe some fellow hunters. I mean, good God. It's a terrible
look. Maybe a deer.
Maybe
a duck.
There you go.
Maybe a pheasant.
Yeah.
But not a Texan.
No.
Okay. No.
It's open season. It's hunting season, and the Bears will be the hunted. I hate that uniform, especially when it's all washed out with the helmet as well. It's just... Ugh.
So that is one thing to keep an eye on. And remember that they do not play well. They're not dressed for success on Sunday night.
Texter says the all orange is easily the Bears' best looking uniform. Listen, it does zero for me. It's not their best looking uniform. It looks like they're not the Bears.
It doesn't look like the Bears. No,
it looks like they're somebody else.
The Bengals or Clemson or somebody else. Tennessee, that's a different shade of orange, but still, yeah. You get the point.
Orange, you're glad they're wearing that uniform, says Peoria Matt. No. There's the only word in the English language without a rhyme, right?
Orange?
Apparently.
I don't think you can rhyme orange. No, if you can, I'd be very impressed.
I think you can't rhyme.
No, so it's a little thing, but hopefully they break the streak, but I just was disappointed. It's a nationally televised audience, and we get to see them in orange helmets and orange jerseys.
Yeah.
Little thing I just wanted to get off my chest.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't had a chance to rail against it. Chris is in Tinley Park. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask, if we're going to be pretty thin at wide receiver on Sunday with DJ or with Keenan Allen out and Odunze out, what's your guys' honest assessment on DeAndre Carter? He showed some big playability on special teams. I want to say Caleb overthrew him one time on Sunday. So I know he's a journeyman. He's bounced around a bunch, but, you know, should he be getting more looks? I mean, is there nothing there? Just curious what your thoughts are there.
It's a good call. I think, as I alluded to, he's a guy that you're going to be pressed in a position to trust. And if you do that, then I think that he's proven as recently as a couple years ago, and I think Chris Beatty was his position coach, you can trust him. He had 46 receptions for 538 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2022 for the Chargers in an offense that was pass-oriented, played with a very good quarterback. You're not going. He's going to give you a professional effort. He's going to be a professional third receiver if he's pressed into that role. And if you want to go deep and you want to get behind take the top off the defense, Tyler Scott offers you that option as well. Not worried about really the Bears receiving corps going into this game, Molly. Maybe that's naive. But I think it's a pretty strong position in terms of depth.
Well, and not only that, I mean, if it really comes to it, right, you know, bring Colin Johnson up off the practice squad. If it really comes to it, they've got somebody else on the practice squad. If you really feel like you're going to be undermanned, like both those guys are out, then feel free to go ahead and do that. But, I mean, I don't know that is the case. I mean, I don't think – I would keep Velus on the active list because he once lined up at wide receiver and didn't catch passes. It's just weird that you would think
this isn't the week to do that. This isn't the week to play around and experiment. It might be the week to send a message. Yeah. I hope they don't play him because I'm sick of talking about him.
Yeah.
I think that here we are on Friday and still the Velus Jones issue is out there. I think it's out there because obviously Richard Hightower was asked about it. He weighed in. He had a lot to say. He has a lot to say on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. He is really a special teams coordinator that you like to hear from because he talks in a way that I think he knows how to command. He knows how to reach his audience. Commanding tone, pretty strong message that this was an unacceptable thing that Velus Jones did, and I felt better about the situation after hearing from him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the post game, I didn't understand why the coach felt the need to say he was proud of him, whatever. I just didn't think you needed to even mention it. If you were going to mention it, just say, yeah, it's unacceptable. I didn't think you needed to act like there was some triumph. They gave him the ball. They went to him. They tried to make a point about that. And, in fairness, he can't catch the ball in the air. But if you put it in his stomach, apparently he can hang on to it. So congratulations.
Curious to see how the Bears' defensive backs adjust to Stephon Diggs or the Bears' defense in general. You could do a number of things. You could take Stephon Diggs, and if you identify him as the guy that you need to stop in that passing game, maybe Jalen Johnson is the guy that follows him and trails him all over the field, both sides of the ball, wherever he lines up. I don't think they'll do that.
Well, is Diggs the man he was in Minnesota? He's a couple teams removed now, and there's a reason that he's a couple teams removed, right?
Well, so maybe as much to do with the off the field stuff than the on the field stuff. He's still a dangerous threat, and I think he's a big play guy. So I think that it would be foolish of the Bears to question that and his ability to break a game open.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to do that. I don't think that you want to get out of the...
I think you feel really good about the Bears secondary. I think you feel good about Jalen Johnson being one of the best corners in the league, about Tyreek Stevenson winning the Defensive Player of the Year, a week award, last week, and about Kyler Gordon as the guy that is the nickel. And I think you feel good about them in nickel personnel. If they open the game that way, if that's their starting
lineup.
They're
likely going to. I think you look at the way that they
– more nickel than anything.
Probably more than 60%. I don't know what the snap count was against the Titans. But I think it's going to be a really interesting – I didn't want to call it a chess match. That's too cliche. But to see how Matt Eberflus matches up with Bobby Slowick Jr., who has called an exceptional game probably since he's been calling plays for the Texans, his – growth as a play caller has been instrumental in C.J. Stroud's success at quarterback. And the way that Matt Eberflus called the second half of the game in the opener suggests that he knows how to dial up pressure. He knows what looks to disguise. He's a, I think, Olin Kruse, who isn't prone to exaggeration, called him an elite play caller on defense. So you have on one side of the ball an elite defensive play caller against one of the bright young offensive minds in the National Football League. That, to me, is as good of a matchup as we're going to see, because the Bears defense, if they're going to win this game, it's going to be because they have another special performance by the defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think we've established that they are a team that has been able to win one game into the season with defense and special teams. And so you got to play to that, right? You got to understand that. You got to take advantage of the punter and do those things. If you get more out of your offense, that's like a little bonus that you weren't expecting. And I expect them to get more out of the offense. I would hope that the quarterback will throw for over 225 yards. I don't want to get out over my skis and say 250, but 250 would be the number I'm looking for. Just throw for 250 yards, maybe run the ball. Try to take advantage of it. This is a really good team. You know, when you look at Houston, there's a lot of blues on their team. In other words, there's a lot of frontline talent. The Bears have a lot of frontline talent, too. We just didn't see any out of the offense. So it'd be nice if you could get DJ Moore more involved, if you could get Keenan Allen on the field and catching passes, if you can... You're paying $50 million to Cole Kmet. Let him play. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. We watched last night, the Thursday night game that you hated, that Von Miller really made his presence felt. And it was a reminder, as every NFL game can be at times,
right,
of just when you have an elite pass rusher, how they can wreck a game plan.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good message for the Bears to remember, and I'm sure Shane Waldron has accounted for this in his game plan. Will Anderson Jr. is that guy. I mean, Danielle Hunter is really special
Danielle
as well.
Hunter is an excellent player.
But Will Anderson Jr.
Who's won games for the Bears before.
Yeah, he's done that with the Vikings.
But he's the guy who is the special. That's what you're saying.
I think Will Anderson Jr. has that capability. Okay. And so you don't want that to happen. You don't want him to do his best Von Miller imitation.
Yeah.
So how will the Bears prevent that from happening? Will it be with... you know, extra help from the tight end position?
Yes.
Will it be by moving the pocket or a combination of everything?
I mean, listen, we know how you handle. The problem is they got two pass rushers, right? That's what you're saying. And the only way to handle that is to make sure you're giving help to whoever the weaker of the two players is, and you're chipping, and you're doing things, you know, on your way out to catch this pass, take a shot at this guy. You know, hey, before you go on your break, make sure you lean into him and knock him toward the interior of the line, whatever it might be. This is offensive line play demands teamwork, and maybe without them trying to figure out who their offensive line is this week, they'll get more teamwork.
That would be the best result for the Bears offense, no doubt about that. So we'll see if Ryan Bates is active. We'll see if Nate Davis is interested, and we'll see how the offensive line functions. And when we come back, we're going to have our predictions from the week in review. But right now, you can be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, and be part of a live studio audience for September 25th broadcast, 6 to 10, Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. We're going to be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 o'clock hour. That's going to be a lot of fun. All brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
You got to love breakfast with Billy. Give us a call. We'll get you in. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mully and Haw got you ready for Bears Week 2 matchup against the Houston Texans with experts analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
This is going to be a tough one just because these guys can score points. I mean, our defense is going to be tested maybe as much this week as we have and will all year.
Bolin Krutz.
They all have to do a lot better, but a lot of these guys have to play better football for this offense to look better against the Houston Texans.
Chicago Bear wide receiver DJ Moore.
I know they got a good high-powered offense, and their defense has been improved, so I'm waiting to see some more film on them to really go dive deeper into what they do.
Jarrett Payton.
Proof's going to come on the pudding because we're all going to watch it on Sunday night, and it has to be better than it was this past Sunday if the Bears are going to find a way to get a big-time win on primetime against a really, really good football team.
Joe Ostrowski.
Massive movement in favor of the Texans. A little bit of anti-Bears. But I would say, though, there are a couple of other interesting things around the Bears that with this Jordan Love injury, they're now the second favorite for the division.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Wiederer.
Lean into your strengths, you know, and you hope you make a few more big plays than they do and keep that game within reach, because the defense is going to have to be the engine for the Bears in the short term, and they're going to have to be that Sunday night for sure.
BetMGM Hawks great Chris Chelios.
I'm always going to take the Bears. You know that. Jeez.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales.
I just want to see the Bears, like, if I'm looking at them offensively, really simplify it for Caleb and just get the ball out.
Nick Costas.
I would only bet the Texans in this game. I think Houston's a juggernaut potentially this season in the regular season, and I think this is a bad spot early here in the year for Caleb Williams.
Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger.
The bat downs at the line of scrimmage is something to be concerned about. It's only one game, but you kind of want to go through a game and not have that happen.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Brad Biggs.
If they're prepared to show the growth that we are sort of expecting and looking for, I think that's a trend that could change moving forward here. But I picked the Texans to win the game 24-20.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
If you're looking at the Bears, 7 would be the number. You don't need to rush. I would say this, and this is going to apply to the whole weekend for anyone rushing into Houston. Be careful based on what you saw in Week 1, okay? Week 2 is one of the best weeks for sports betting because of the overreactions that take place in Week 1.
Mark Grody.
I don't think anybody's doing this. I have the Houston Texans beating the Chicago Bears 31-14. Bears will have the ball first. I think that they will have a terrific first drive on which they score. They will go up. The extra point will be good. They will go up 7-0 early in the game, but then I think Houston just kind of powers past them, and the Bears score a later touchdown to make it look a little bit better. I just don't have a good feeling about this game. I think the Bears lose it.
Can the Bears win against the Houston Texans? Mully and Haw and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So I believe of all the people we've talked to and all the selections we've sought, we have Dustin taking the Bears, and that is it.
Yeah, Dustin took them 19-17. I give him a lot of credit for going out on that limb. He really believes that they can pull that off. It would be, I think, a significant moment in this season if they're able to do that. We'll come in here Monday morning, and we'll talk about and get carried away with the growth of Caleb Williams, because if they win, I don't think they do so without him playing at a high
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that defense and how far can they carry this team,
mm-hmm.
which will be the case. If the Bears come in here.
Hey, we'll talk about an undefeated team. We'll talk about the difference between 2-0 and whatever else the record is or could have been or whatever. 2-0 would 2-0 be extraordinary.
With this schedule, would let you dream a little bit about a playoff team, mm-hmm. a playoff run, and being ahead of schedule. If you beat the Texans in their building with C.J. Stroud at quarterback, then you're going to have a lot of fun as a Bears fan contemplating and considering all of the possibility of 2024.
Listen, I mean, there are a lot of different statistics that we've thrown around and talked about, but maybe the most important is the 12 interceptions the Bears have had since week 11 of 2023, and how they managed to win the turnover battle in week one. And every one of those kind of fumbles, every one of those picks counts. And if you can get the takeaway as opposed to giving the ball away, you're laughing. This is a really important statistic to keep an eye on. So protect the ball and get the ball.
Get the ball, because takeaways are not accidents.
No.
Takeaways, at the rate that the Bears create them, and that's the right verb, create them, are products of emphasis. That's coaching.
Yeah.
You can say many things about Matt Eberflus, and people have. I think the one thing that is emerging is that this emphasis on the takeaway, much like it was during the Lovie Smith era, mm-hmm. early in the Lovie Smith era, probably earlier than what surfaced here now. But if you coach and you emphasize a certain area like creating turnovers, eventually it'll pay off. And I think it has begun to pay off for the Bears. That needs to continue Sunday night against an offense that protects the football and knows what to do with it.
And see, that's the difference. This is a game against a quarterback, maybe as good a quarterback as they're going to face this year, certainly outside the division. But this is not a guy like Will Levis gave you the game.
Yeah.
The coach joked afterwards, or the day after, that if they had just punted on first down, they might have won the game, meaning in the second half. But they didn't, and the quarterback eventually gave it to the Bears, and that's what happened. He gave up the game. That's not going to happen here. You're going to have to go take it.
I think you're right, because I think that in C.J. Stroud, it's a good debate whether or not Matthew Stafford – I think Matthew Stafford is a better overall quarterback. His body of work is stronger,
yeah,
certainly.
Okay.
But with C.J. Stroud and Matthew Stafford, those are clearly at one level of the teams and the quarterbacks you're gonna face this year for the Bears defense. And then there's everybody else. Mm. So this is one of your greatest challenges of the season. If you conquer this, you will begin to think anything is possible if you're a Bears fan, especially if you're a member of that defense. If you come out of this for the second week in a row as a member of that defense and you have dominated somebody or created victory, then wow. It's going to be a fun Monday and a fun week in Chicago, which we're going to be part of a very, very entertaining season.
Yeah, I mean, like, for us.
You need to slow down.
For guys like us that figured they go about 9-8, this isn't the must-win game, okay? This is not the one they have to have. I felt like last week they had to have that game if they were going to go down to Houston, and who knows what was going to happen. No game is easy in the NFL. You know, playing the Colts won't be easy at their place, depending on how they do against the Packers. Certainly, you look at what's going on with the Rams. That's their opponent after the Colts, and the Rams are down players.
This is not a must win for the Bears, but it is. There are musts here.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams must improve.
Yes.
The offensive line must improve.
Must improve.
I think Shane Waldron must improve. There are certain things you want to see as far as boxes you need to check to feel good about the progress of this football team in season. And those are the top three to me.
Lovie Smith, who's very important in this game, since his work with Houston is what led to both the quarterbacks that are currently with the teams they're with, him winning that game at the end. But Lovie used to say that teams make the biggest jump from week one to week two, and that you will see like a significant jump in your identity will become more apparent. So if that happens, then the Bears are going to jump for the positive, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
They'll be better on offense than they were in the first week.
Even without Roma Dunze, even without whoever they're missing on the offensive line, you can get by with your receiving core, if it includes Keenan Allen. You can get by with Nate Davis not rotating at right guard.
Yep.
He should be able at this stage of his career to play every snap and to not be hampered or limited by conditioning.
Where's his confidence?
I don't know.
Did
confidence.
This impact his confidence?
Confidence for a right guard? It's not. Don't talk to me about confidence.
I'm
talk to me
talk
about
to
interest level.
About
intensity.
I'm going to talk to you about the fact that he must now know they're trying to replace him.
Good.
And if the player that they want to replace him with is not there, is his confidence strong enough to overcome the fact that they clearly don't want him starting right now?
I think that's
confidence.
I don't think that with offensive linemen you speak in terms of confidence as much as you do. How focused are you? Are you able to stay intense? Are you able to play at a high level? Are you going to play with an edge to the echo of the whistle, as Dustin likes to say? All these things, I think, are unrelated to confidence. Maybe his confidence is affected by the rotation, but
yes.
You got to get past that quickly.
You're
not a quarterback worried about
it.
It's different.
But no, David, I think that every player on the field, I mean, I understand the significance of different positions, but every player on the field can go through a crisis of confidence within the course of a game. And you want to be at your best and feeling your best. I don't, you know, my fear is that this is a guy that has gotten paid to the point where he no longer cares. That's what you're saying. What you're saying, is he focused?
I'm worried about that. I'd be worried about that if I'm the Chicago Bears coaching staff and front office.
And I mean, when you are done with the guy, when you are ready to replace him, you know what you ought to do is bench him.
Replace him.
Or get rid of him.
Well.
You know, whatever it takes.
But you can't yet, though. You can't have that kind of all or nothing mentality because you're compromised at the position. So that will dictate what you do and how aggressive you are.
But that's another example of a guy who has to respond to the way he played in the first game.
I think you're right. He definitely has to respond better. He was essentially benched, a rotation or not. He did not play well.
Yeah.
And it seems like they gave up on him when he gave up on a play.
Right.
And that's not good. Before we get out of here, there's some interesting, important context to add to the Tua Tagovailoa discussion today. Because all over sports talk radio, every NFL fan who watched the horror last night of his concussion and the reaction and the pose, and it was scary.
The fencing pose.
The fencing pose.
Yes.
The contract is not to be ignored and is not the most important part of this, but I think that's interesting. And this is a spot rack who we use often for contract information.
Yes.
Tweeted out this earlier this morning. While a full recovery is the only real focus here, in response to questions about Tua's contract, the deal, which he just signed in the offseason, a four-year extension, includes $167 million guaranteed for injury, 43 of which has been paid in 2024. If he's medically cleared by doctors to return to football but opts to retire, even though he received medical clearance, he foregoes the remaining $124 million guaranteed, barring a settlement. If he's medically forced into retirement, doctors say, no way you're getting back behind center.
He gets every dime of it.
He has every right to collect that $124 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money at stake in terms of the diagnosis, the direction, and his decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I hope the guy is fine. I hope that he comes out of this in really good shape and he's feeling better today. Here's what I know. I know that they will be running every test known to man on him. I know that this isn't a situation where a guy's going to be asked to come back in a game immediately because they need him as opposed to where he's at. Things have changed. They will do a ton of work with him, and they will make a determination as to whether or not he can come back, how quickly he can come back. I know there is no resolution to this that it's going to happen over the next month or so.
Right.
And so whatever the resolution eventually is, I do not believe that he will be a guy choosing retirement. I think that he will either be medically retired or come back and play.
I tend to agree with that. This is his third diagnosed concussion since 2022.
Yeah.
My sense is that they will take the slow route and be as conservative as possible in regard to this season.
Mm-hmm.
But as young of a man as he is, and as much as football has always meant to his life, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not advocating this. I'm not advising him because he's getting enough free advice this morning. But it wouldn't surprise me, as I think you're saying, if he waits this out and if he is medically clear to return, he tries to do that. I think he will try to do that.
I agree.
I think he'll probably avoid, he'll want to avoid retirement at this young age. If he doesn't, then he is at peace with that decision. Whatever he is comfortable with, that's the direction he should try to go and be at peace with his own decision. Because I think he's entitled to that, right?
Listen, it's something that you can't begin to understand, right? Normal humans can't begin, like, I can hear people in my head telling me, if it was me, I'd take the money I made and get out. This is a totally different deal. He's a football player and he wants to play football, and this is his life and this is what he's been building himself up to do, etc. So I would imagine he's going to do everything he can to eventually get back on the field. And I would imagine that every one of those dollars that is guaranteed is definitely going to him before it's all said and done. I don't think he's walking away from the game because it was too scary or because, you know, family members are advising it. I think he's going to do what he can do to play.
What a moment, though. DeMar Hamlin, the man who almost lost his life on the football field, making the tackle that caused a concussion for Tua, who is now his third diagnosed concussion. Just real
awful,
terrible night in Miami.
And as Josh Allen said, the worst part of the game. Yep. Injuries like that are the worst part of the game. And here's hoping the kid's okay.
Here's hoping.
And, we'll find out and we'll wait and get all the information. But an awful, dark, horrible result.
Tough week. Tough to start to week two.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. We've got, I believe I saw Marshall Harris.
Yes,
he's here.
Yeah.
And Dan. And we'll talk to them next. Mully and Haw on the Score.